The verse in the gospel today in which Jesus is talking about not having a home and not having a permanent place to lay his head is one that kind of sits with me today, as today is my last weekend here at Curie of Ours as your associate pastor. Father Larry Bowers, our newly ordained priest from this last year, will be here next weekend. Monsignor's in Ireland, so he timed this all very well. But this is my last weekend, and as I kind of mentioned to you when I announced that I'd be moving on, moving is hard, especially for me. I have lived here in Kansas my whole life, and my parents still live in the house I grew up in. I like to put down roots, kind of, you know, and have a home where you feel comfortable. And today I'd just like to thank all of you, really, because over the last 2 years, and even before that, the years I spent as a seminarian, Curie of Ours really has been a home for me, where I've gotten to know so many of you, and you and your families, and you've invited me into your families, so many of you, that this has been a very wonderful, comfortable place for me to live for the last 2 years and before that. Although I will, as you know, be going to Washington, D.C. in the fall to study canon law, that doesn't start until August, and I actually worked things out with Monsignor so that my kind of little permanent home in the diocese for when I'm back on breaks and over summers is actually going to be at the CLC across the street. So my parents and the seminarians are all helping me move yesterday and today. Unfortunately, thanks to Monsignor, I only have to move across the street. So I'll be going on vacation here for a little bit, but I'll be around hit and miss for the rest until August, and then I'll be back for Christmas and summers, and I can't think what a nicer place to be. I was going to live at Savior of the World, but I thought about kind of how lonely that would be, and I just thought about how nice it is here at Curie of Ours and how it's such a family kind of place. And so I'm very glad that for the next 3 years anyway, I'll be a part-time parishioner of Curie of Ours. Now, the other thing, our readings, you notice the gospel today is a little bit disjointed. There's like all these sayings that seemingly don't have much to do with the other ones, but they're really all centered around the fact that God should be first. You can't be looking back. You can't be saying, yeah, I'll follow God, but this first. God has to be primary and first of all. You know, they often say that when giving a homily, it's good to have a story that can help people understand these things. And, you know, there are books of stories and things, but I always find it's better, as you know, I like to share stories from my personal life. Well, I've got a story from this week, and some of you already know the story because you saw it on Facebook. I was on my way back from Boy Scout camp this past Wednesday. I just finished 10 wonderful days down at the Itro Bartle Scout Reservation as a chaplain serving the Boy Scouts, and I was on my way back Wednesday morning having closed up camp, and I was about a half hour away from Curie of Ours coming up 71 Highway 49 north there, and I was in the right-hand lane and looked at my GPS, and it said I was about a half hour from home, I think. And the next thing I know, there's a truck in the left-hand lane that starts to squish me off the road. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I got squished off onto the shoulder, but no sooner had I panicked to my left than I saw that on the shoulder in front of me was a parked car. So I had the natural instinct to swerve back. Unfortunately, I had really no lane there, so I was trying to brake and swerve all at the same time, because you can imagine what it might feel like to have a parked car immediately in front of you going 70 miles an hour. I managed to swerve a little bit, but I still plowed right into the back of that car with most of the passenger side, which spun me around in a circle on the interstate. And then from the scouts that were coming behind me, I'm told that my car flipped up end over end and landed in the grass. And then I remember very distinctly rolling and rolling and rolling. I rolled probably, I don't know, three or four times at least in the grass, finally landing several hundred feet from the interstate, where God had provided a nice little flat, open area. Now, it's nice to know that, you know, all those prayers that you say, because you don't have a whole lot of time when that is happening to actually think about what prayer should I say. It was a very, very short prayer. I'm glad, however, I was not like yelling expletives or anything like that. Under stress, what I think came out was basically, Mary, make it stop. Because you never know. I've never been in anything like that in my life, and all I know is when you're rolling over and over very fast in a car that you know is not meant for rolling like that, I just was thinking, I don't know, when is the last one? Is the car going to cave in and squish me? Am I going to roll and hit a tree and that'll be it? There was a very real sense of this might be it. And I think that's when, you know, it's not like my life flashed before my eyes or anything at that moment, but when everything stopped and came to rest, it does cause you to realize how thankful we need to be for our guardian angels, our Blessed Mother, God, who protects us all the time. And in these days that I've been trying to recover, it does cause you to kind of take stock a little bit of what is important. Now, I can't say that as a result of this, there's any kind of miraculous kind of, oh my goodness, this is what I'm going to change my life completely. Because, praise be to God, I was kind of doing what God wanted me to do, but it does cause you to think about what's really important. And it's certainly not my car or even ultimately the little things that are wrong with my body right now. I was fortunate. I got a broken bone in this wrist, and I was definitely wearing my seatbelt, otherwise I would not be here. And that kind of just cracked, tore, I don't know what, all the ribs and everything on this side. So it's kind of hard to move, and there's a lot of pain. But, you know, in the end, I have to keep coming back to think, you know, you're alive, so everything else is kind of bonus, you know, after that. And it's easy. I kind of feel guilty, worried about, oh, what about this that was lost and that. And in the end, it's like Jesus is telling these people in the gospel, if you're going to follow God, go follow God and give it all to him, and then don't worry, because he's going to take care of everything else. That's why Jesus is able to be at peace, even though he says he's got nowhere to lay his head. His Father takes care of him. Jesus famously tells us, look at the flowers of the field and the little animals. God takes care of all of them. Don't you think he's going to take care of you? Well, I definitely learned that firsthand this week, that God does take care of us. One person pointed out to me, wow, Father, God must really want you to be a canon lawyer. I don't know if there's necessarily the connection there, but I am pretty glad that apparently God wanted me alive. So that means there must be more work to do. I always think that from reading the biography of John Paul II, you know, he was hit by a truck when he was a young person. So I feel I kind of got that traumatic incident out of my way now for my biography. Now, one person did ask me after that, so Father, when do you get shot? That's after I become Pope. So praise God, we won't have to worry about getting shot. But it does just make you very, very, very thankful. It also shows you that in addition to our relationship with God, what has been most important to me is that I'm kind of an independent person. I like to do things and take care of myself, but I had to have my mom dress me, I admit. It's been a while since my mom had to dress me, but, you know, there's your mom to take care of you. And before that I even saw my parents or anything in the hospital, the first person that came to see me was actually not even my natural family, but my curé family. Terry Sexton had heard that I'd been in a wreck, and he just raced right down to the hospital because we didn't know exactly how bad it was or anything. And as soon as I got admitted to a room, the first person that walks in my door is Terry Sexton. I can't tell you how special that is, and that's the kind of place this is, where the relationships I have here, next to relationship with God, it's those relationships with our friends and family that are the most important. I often, you know, work with people who are near death, and they try to help us to see what is really important. And you know, it's not normally the things of life, it's normally those relationships. And so I am just so grateful today to still be alive. And it does kind of give you a sense that maybe God has some important work that he still wants me to do. But more than that, I really wanted to be able to celebrate this Mass with you today, to kind of say goodbye. But you can never really say goodbye to Curia of Ars, I guess. It's kind of a special place that I'm happy that I'll be able to kind of call home for the next 3 years. And there's so many of you that I've gotten to know that you'll always kind of be my family, I think. And I appreciate the way that you've helped me to grow as a priest in these last 2 years. Now that I've been a priest for 5 years, I think I stopped being a baby priest. And maybe I'm like a toddler priest now. So you all have had a great role to play in these formative years of my early priesthood. And today I'm just thankful to God to be alive. Little pain, we'll offer that up. In particular, I would like it if you would all pray for priests. There's, you know, a lot of work of the evil one here to try to pick off our priest, and a lot of priests are struggling, and I don't know what the work of the evil one was in all this, but if he was trying to get me, praise God, the army of angels there got in there first. But do pray for priests. I was thinking my guardian angel should be promoted to archangel, quite frankly. I recommend him for promotion. But do know that I will pray for you as I go to Washington, and I ask you to please pray for me, because one of the hardest things, honestly, will be kind of being away from everybody. I'll make some new friends in Washington, but it won't quite be like the family that I have here at this parish. So know that I will take a little bit of you with me, for the rest of my priesthood, really, and I will certainly pray for you and ask you to pray for me as we all try to focus on the most important thing. I hope it doesn't take a car accident or any near-death experience to help us maybe realize that God is the most important thing, and our family and friends are right behind that. I'm blessed that I'm able to count all of you among my larger family and friends. Thank you.